right, everyone. Greetings. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us. So this is Dr. Will Tuttle. It's Thursday, December 1st, 2022, and this is our first Thursday of the month, World Peace Meditation Gathering. Thank you, all of you, for joining us. It's great to see you. And feel free to, however you like, you can have your pictures showing. That's great. If you can also turn them off, either way. Everybody is sort of automatically unmuted when we begin. But if you have a comment or question, feel free to unmute yourself. Press star 6. You can also raise your hand down in the reactions in the lower part of the screen if you have a comment or a question. So as you know, this is a meditation only time, basically. I mean, meditation, we have a little Dhamma talk or, and time for if you have questions or comments also. And, but we keep it to an hour at the most, maybe a little less. the other thing, I guess, just to be aware is that on the third Thursday, we have more of a real forum for discussion. This one is open a little bit more to the general public. If you have friends that would like to join us on the meditation, that's fine. You can let them know. We don't get into substantial issues too much. This is more focusing on the spiritual dimension of things. So let's see. Davi says she's having audio issues. Let me check. I'm just setting this up in a friend's house here. Thank you all for joining us. I'll go ahead and get started. And what we do at the beginning is have a meditation. I'll just lead it. Normally, I'm sitting at the piano and accompanying myself with music, but this time we'll just go ahead and do it without the music, unfortunately. But we can begin. That's the main part we do. We have a guided meditation, and then we'll go ahead and open it up for discussion. If you have any questions you would like to have me respond to regarding meditation or the connection between veganism and spirituality, any of those things, it's great to talk about. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started, and let me see here. I'll just turn that off. Okay, so I think we're all set, everything. Okay, so we'll begin. So I'd like to just thank you all for joining us, and let's begin our time by breathing, connecting with our breathing, connecting with the flow of breath, wherever we happen to be right now, just letting go of the outer circumstances as best we can, and focusing our attention within, connecting with our breath as we exhale, allowing ourselves to deepen into a sense of gratitude for this precious moment, a sense of being open to the inner wisdom that is always shining in our hearts, breathing together, giving thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth, for this opportunity to grow in wisdom and compassion, to be part of a movement here on this planet to liberate animals, to awaken to our own true nature. So as we breathe together, we give thanks for each other, for everyone in this community, and beyond that, to everyone who is in the movement for the liberation of animals. We give thanks for all the efforts that have been made in the past, that are being made now and will be made in the future. So we just open to this feeling of gratitude for the human efforts to awaken out of the delusion of seeing other living beings as mere objects to be used, and to respect and open to the mentality and the feeling of kindness and compassion and caring for all living beings, for the precious web of life here, for the infinite web of relations. As we breathe, we give thanks not only for all of the activists in the world and the advocates and the people who are working to help create more peace and freedom on our planet, but we also open to all of those who are still waiting to understand more deeply, who are in the mode of learning and awakening. We open our hearts to the whole human family, to all human beings, wherever they are on their spiritual path, knowing that the light and the seed of wisdom and compassion shines within everyone. And we address that in them, and we speak to them, when we think of them. We give thanks for this whole awakening of the human family. And we feel now especially our connection with the non-human animals with whom we share this earth. Let's take a moment now and really connect with the beautiful animals of this earth, with all the birds who are inhabiting our planet, who fly through the skies, who celebrate their lives in the element of air. Giving thanks for the inspiration that they bring us and the beauty and for their unique purposes that they're fulfilling in their inner lives that are filled with richness that we can hardly begin to comprehend. And feeling our connection with all of the beings who inhabit the land we see around us, all the mammals and amphibians and so forth. And giving thanks for all the beings who are in the waters, the marine animals, the wild free living animals, as well as those who are unfortunately being imprisoned by humans for various reasons. But it's opening to the whole web of life here, all of the insects, all living beings, as well as the ecosystems, the tremendous beauty that we see all around us when we look into nature, imagining the precious beauty of a leaf, of a little bug, how magnificent they are in their creations, a little mouse. We can imagine if we were somehow in outer space far from the earth and we were to see just a little fly, or a little beautiful berry from a, or seed pod from a plant, how magnificent and symmetrical and so much intelligence is invested in every aspect of nature, in every expression of life. So we take a moment now to just savor this infinite intelligence that is manifested in the absolutely dazzling display of variety of living beings, life forms, plants and animals, and everything in between, funguses and algae and insects, and all the beings here, and all the non-physical beings. There are many realms that we are aware of, and many that we are not aware of. So we just open our hearts and our minds to this magnificent profusion of life, of creativity, joy, and beauty, and that all beings have within them their own inner experience that is significant to them, and that the infinite creative source is experiencing all of this. It's all precious and worthy of being honored and respected. And so we open to this ancient wisdom that shines in every cell of our being. We allow ourselves to open to the inner wisdom that can guide us in our lives, to live our lives in a way to contribute to the healing of our world and to contribute to the awakening of humanity, to live in a way that is honoring and respecting and kind and loving to not only other human beings, but to all expressions of life. So as we're meditating together and giving thanks for this precious human life and this opportunity to learn and to grow and to contribute to the healing of our species and ourselves and our loved ones and our world, we open to the truth that what we are is not merely a physical body with a name and a form. What we are is the infinite and eternal consciousness that gives rise to this form, and that we're here with a purpose. We're here with a mission. We're here with something unique to contribute and to be able to serve. So let's take a moment now and just open to that feeling of ourselves and that awareness that what we are is a being that is the source of this life that we see when we look into the mirror. Much as when we see a footprint, we don't identify with the footprint. We identify with the being that makes the footprint possible, the being that we are, beyond name and form, beyond possessions, beyond birth and death, that we are here and beyond here, like all expressions of life. So we honor the source when we see the outer forms, and from that perspective, we open now to an awareness of our purpose for this lifetime. Let's open to that awareness right now, the awareness that we have a unique purpose for this lifetime, this incarnation, the particular name and form, and so forth that we have taken for this lifetime has, and all the experiences that we've had up until now. We give thanks for the being that we are right at this moment, with all of our capacities and abilities. And from that awareness, we can give thanks for every experience we've ever had in this life or in any former lives that brought us right to this platform where we are right now. So we open up our hearts to a sense of love and appreciation for the being that we are, this unique expression of life, and open to a sense of the mission that we have, how it feels right now at this point in our life, what our purpose is, and how we feel drawn to focus our awareness and our attention during this unique time in our culture's evolution. What is our role in all of this? Just breathe into that together as we support each other and encourage each other by being true to ourselves, as we open to our intuition, to the inner wisdom that is always shining in our heart, that is always guiding us from the source point of view, the inner point of view, the eternal point of view. So breathing into that and opening also to the deep sense of joy that abides at the very core of our being, that needs no reasons in the outer world, the joy of our true nature, to be able to look out and to see what we see, hear what we hear, sense what we sense, be aware and understanding, cultivating a sense of kindness and compassion for others. And so we turn our attention now to the sense of health and healing of the being that we are, knowing that even though we live in a world where we're all, from the time we're little kids, in many ways wounded by toxic chemicals and by harmful words and thoughts, that there is a powerful resilience to every dimension of our being, a tremendous force that keeps us aware and awake and on our path. This resilience brings a sense of wellness and health and harmony always into our mind and into our heart. And so as we open now to the truth of our being, we realize that we're not essentially separate, that what we are is infinitely interconnected. The whole web of life and with the source of all life. So we allow that sense of interconnectedness now to manifest as a sense of light, that the light that shines in the sun, in all the stars, is a manifestation of a far greater light that shines at the very heart of the cosmos, coming through and shining in within us, in our heart, in every cell of our being. Let's just feel this light right now, harmonizing every dimension of our life. If we have any physical issues, anything in the outer world, with finances or relationships or anything like that, allowing the light to stream in through the top of our head, down through our entire head and face and neck and shoulders, just washing away any wounds or limitations that may be causing us any difficulty or any apparent lack, down through our arms, wrists, streaming out of our hands and fingers, this light of joy, freedom, creativity, abundance, awareness, wisdom, truth, health, and freedom, just pouring down through our upper body, our upper back and our chest, down through the middle part of our body, down into our lower back and abdomen, to our pelvic region, just washing away any wounds or limitation, down through our legs and knees and calves and ankles, into our feet, streaming out through the soles of our feet. So we feel our entire physical body as a stream of living white light that is radiating peace and freedom and joy into every cell, into all of our affairs and all of our thoughts and feelings, as the underlying ground of our being, that we're here to shine the light of our true nature, of wisdom and loving kindness out in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And we're supported in this always by our connection with the source of all light and life, loving kindness and wisdom on this earth. We are always connected to this wisdom, and we can draw inspiration and guidance at any time from our own inner sources. So we see our whole body now as a radiating center of light. And then finally, we allow this light to radiate from our heart out into the infinite web of relations and ever-expanding webs of light. you see these, all the webs of light that connect us to our friends and family and neighbors, colleagues, people we know, people we don't know, people who our friends and family know. There's a whole infinite web of relations. Everyone is connected by just a few degrees of separation. So we know that through the infinite web of related connections, we're able to shine our light to bless others. And as it goes around, it comes back to us again and continues on around. And now we bring all the animals into this as well. And we see the cows and pigs and chickens, the turkeys, geese and ducks and lambs and goats all being liberated from their prisons. We see all the fishes being liberated. We see the free living animals of this earth celebrating their lives in beautiful, harmonious ecosystems that are clean and abundant. We see human beings awakening to our purpose on this earth as intuitive co-creators of joy and freedom in an abundant world, communicating with each other and communicating with all the non-human animals on a foundation of equality and respect. As we give thanks for the abundance that is here, that there's enough for everyone that's needed, and we garden and grow food and live our lives in harmony together with the animals who are also free from domination or exploitation at our hands. This is the underlying vision of wisdom that lives within us as the ever-present possibility that we can contribute to, that we can, in our own unique way, connect with. The vision that we have of a positive future for humanity and for all living beings, based on spiritual awakening that is developing every day and in every way. So we take a moment now to savor our connection with the wisdom that is our true nature. And then we now finally breathe together as we radiate the four viharas, the four aspects of our true home, which are loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace into the four directions. So as we breathe, now we engender in our heart the feeling of loving kindness for all living beings, a sense of benevolence and goodwill, hoping that they will have all the causes of happiness. And we allow this feeling of loving kindness to radiate from our heart in ever-expanding circles, ever-expanding spheres, filling the whole world with the light of loving kindness. And we don't allow any being to be excluded from our love. So we send this even to people who are maybe difficult for us or challenging in some way, radiating love to all living beings equally. And then abiding in the sense of loving kindness for all beings. Sense of benevolence. And now as we move to the second of the four viharas, which is compassion, we engender in our heart the feeling of yearning that all beings be free from suffering and free from all of the causes of suffering. And The key to compassion is that it's also the yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others. So we feel that within ourselves, this yearning to act, to be a blessing in the world, to help relieve the suffering of other living beings, to develop the wisdom and capacity and skillful means to bless others, to help relieve their suffering. And so from every cell of our being, from our heart, we radiate the light of compassion into our world in all directions. May all beings be free from suffering. Breathing and abiding in compassion. And then we move now to the third of the four viharas, which is mudita, the joy of being. The joy that we feel in the joy of others, and the joy that we feel in our awareness of life and all of the possibilities and the essential freedom that is our true nature, the inner peace. So with every inhalation, we engender this feeling of joy in our hearts, and as we exhale, we just allow that feeling of joy to radiate in all directions simultaneously, filling the whole world with the truth of joy, truth of abundance and joy, abiding in our true nature of joy. And finally, now the fourth of the four viharas, upeka, is peace and equanimity, a sense of equality, a sense of abiding in harmony, not yearning to change or to escape or to prefer, but being content at a deeper level. Upeka is peace. So this inner sense of peace and harmony, we see the whole earth now bathed in this light of peace. We see all living beings bathed in the light of peace. That at the deeper levels of reality, this is actually the truth all the time. When we look at the whole creation from a deeper perspective, so we're abiding in our true home of peace, breathing and radiating peace into the infinite web of relations. Coming home to our true home of peace. So breathing and radiating love. Breathing and radiating compassion. Breathing and radiating joy. Breathing and radiating peace. Abiding in love. Abiding in compassion. Abiding in joy. Abiding in peace. Abiding in gratitude. And giving thanks for loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. And no matter what the outer world may bring to us, we can respond with love, compassion, joy, and peace. This is the great power that always dwells within our consciousness to bring healing into our understanding and into our relationships with others. So thank you very much, everyone, for your participation in this meditation time. Let's begin to just return. We close our meditation by again just acknowledging each other. Thank you all, each and every one of you, for taking time out of your, I know, very busy lives to focus on the eternal dimension, the underlying truth of being, out of which emerges the movements for liberation and awareness. We give thanks, knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity at this critical time. We give thanks, knowing that as we go forth into our lives now, following our time together, that every day we will be awakening more and more fully and deeply to the inner wisdom that guides us to live our lives authentically, to live our unique life, and fulfill our purpose for this lifetime. That we have the wisdom and the energy, the zeal and the strength, and the sense of faith in our true nature to take on and respond to everything that is coming to us and to be part of the benevolent revolution that is an ever-present possibility for us as individuals and for our collective cultural reality as well. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. All right, so thanks everyone. And we are now finished with the meditation aspect. I'm happy to respond to any particular comments or questions that you may have about anything that maybe came up during the meditation, or just in general. If you have any questions about the path of veganism as a spiritual path, or the practices that we engage in, that we can engage in, how we can thrive in a not yet vegan world, on the inner levels, it's very challenging. But we do have a few minutes. We have a little bit of a tight schedule today because we're at visiting some friends, so I might not be able to stay right till the very end. It's 6:34 here in Tucson. But it is a precious opportunity. So, if you do have a question or comment, you can just unmute yourself by pressing *6 and speak up, or you can raise your hand at the bottom. And in the meantime, if no one does that, that's great too. I'm happy to. There's a few things I'd like to address. As you may have heard, I'm working on a new book called The Benevolent Revolution, and I'm it has three parts, and the middle part is kind of fun to write. I just finished writing it. Now I'm editing it, but it's on the 6 keys to healthy living. And it's really quite involved. So I think we all maybe underestimate how much we know about how to live a healthy life. There's really a lot to learn and a lot to know. It's a vast subject. And so I'm giving in the book sort of a broad overview of some of those things. And I think it's really exciting, actually, when you stop and think about it, because when we talk about being healthy, it's sort of a simple, straightforward kind of idea, like getting up in the morning, having health and vitality and so forth. But what is that actually right upon? What's the foundation of that? And so the 6 keys that I refer to here in the book are: number 1 is nutrition, and number 2 is meditation, and number 3 is relationships, number 4 is movement and exercise, number 5 is nature, and number 6 is creativity. And each one of those actually branches into a whole lot of other stuff. They're all very involved, and we could talk probably for several hours if we want to go through all these things. But even just looking at nutrition, of course, is a vast subject. And it's not only the food that we're eating, which is it's important, right? And we know that we're vegan, so the shallow level is to plant-based, whole food, vegan, organic, and so forth. But then we look into not only the food itself, but how we prepare it, the way the pans that we use. I mean, so many pans are filled with all kinds of toxins, and then we can go beyond all of the physical food to the other types of food, like the water we're drinking, the air we're breathing, the media that we're consuming. We are really taking in a lot that we can be aware of under this rubric of nutrition and nourishment. And how do we make our choices about what we do to the water, for example, or how we're breathing? I mean, breathing is a huge thing. Are we breathing all the way down to our abdomen with our breath? Have we learned to do that? We're not really taught anything about the most important things: how to eat a healthy diet, how to discriminate between trustworthy and not trustworthy news and media, how to breathe properly, how to eliminate properly, how to prepare food with grace and love and awareness and ability, and how to, that's just under nutrition, these basic things that are so important. And then we look at the idea of meditation. I mean, we're not taught how to cultivate an inner attitude of awareness and mindfulness in our lives, and to see the bigger picture rather than just reacting to what's happening. How to live in a proactive way, creating our lives rather than be always reacting to what's going on outside of us. So it's a huge thing to really to understand, and it's so liberating to realize that we actually have the power to set the inner tempo of our lives and to change the channels that we're responding to. If we're watching something or listening to someone speak to us, we can react by feeling angry at them or blamed or whatever. But we do have the possibility to change the channel, in a sense, of our response, how we react to that. And it makes a big difference in the way that our body responds, because our mind and our body are not separate. So that's a huge thing to work on. I think the more we understand these things and put them into practice, the greater the possibility is that we can develop a radiant health that is a blessing to others. There's this idea of learning, right? There's these four stages of learning. The first stage, of course, when we really don't know how to breathe properly, say we just, like the average person has no idea, they just don't think about it. So that's called unconscious incompetence, right? We just don't know what we're doing. So then we start practicing breathing, being aware of our breathing. So then we get to the next stage, which is conscious incompetence, right? We're working on it, and we realize we're not very good at it. Or it's like anything, learning to play the piano, or anything we're learning. We go through these four stages. So then we're learning, with meditation, it's the same thing. We learn where we have that unconscious incompetence, then we have conscious incompetence, and then with practice, when we get actually good at it, then we have conscious competence, right? Now we're good at it, and we know we're good at it. We're good at being aware of our breathing, or we're good at playing a musical instrument, whatever it is. But we shouldn't stop there. There's a fourth stage, which is unconscious competence. And that's where it becomes part of who we are. We integrate it completely into our being. And we're living that now. And so we don't have to even, in a sense, try to think about it because it becomes part of our being. Like the four viharas, we can be angry with people, and then we can, oh yeah, I should send love when someone cuts us off in traffic or whatever. But with more and more practice, more it becomes integrated into us, and pretty soon it just happens naturally. So really the idea is to practice the abilities and the capacities that are beneficial and important to us in this particular lifetime. And the idea with relationships too, that's another key, that we're not really taught how to create healthy, joyful, harmonious relationships with other people. We have this, we're always want to get attention for ourselves, and we like to think that other people are responsible for how happy we are and so forth. And we're taught all these things that are really completely disempowering. And so just to understand that we have the capacity to take responsibility for the quality of our relationships and actually build them through kindness and caring and speaking loving words to others and so forth can create positive relationships. And I think that's really important in health. A lot of people are sick because they carry anger and resentment and other fear and other emotions in their lives toward other people in the past or in the present. And it's not good for them. It's not good for anybody. So we can learn about this. And then thinking about movement and exercise, that's huge, right? But the way, like the way we in the West are taught from the time of little kids that we have to sit in chairs, for example. I mean, the way we were taught to prop our bodies up in ways that are really awkward and unnatural and harmful to our backs and our digestion and everything. We have to sit still in school and sit there and like a disembodied head and learn the material. I mean, the way we sit on toilets, I mean, you can't take a proper bowel movement sitting on a throne the way the Western, remember when I went to Korea, it was so neat. I was there, and of course, when I got to Korea, I was in the monastery. You squat everywhere you go, especially back in the 1980s before the West really got to Korea. You're always squatting. The toilet is in the floor. It's always in the floor. You don't sit on something. So I remember, so I got really used to that, you know, after many, many months of doing this. And then I remember going to this train station somewhere, and I went into the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. Went to the bathroom, and there was all these little, booths with a squatting toilet where you just squat on the over the toilet, and you can flush them. They have them. They're ceramic, but they're just in the floor. And it's so much easier, I'm telling you, to take a bomber when you're squatting. But then they had this one that said, for Westerner. You know, I opened the door, and it was one of these Western throne kind of things, like typical toilet. And after all those months, it looked so stupid. I mean, it looked so ridiculous to see that thing. I thought, who would ever want to sit on one of those dang things? It's so unnatural. It's so ridiculous. No wonder everybody's constipated. Now they can't even take a bowel movement. We don't even know how to do anything right. We don't know how to do anything. We do everything wrong. I mean, everything. It's like, it's so ridiculous. We have our beds, the way women have to give birth with their feet up and their legs spread and they can't push, they can't do anything. I mean, everything, it's like everything is backwards in our society when you really look at it. The way, not just the food we're eating, but just our basic way of living, we don't know any better. Like, we're born into it. It's not our fault. We're just born, I was born into it. I'm so glad I traveled the world and I gave up having furniture. We don't have any furniture in our house. Everything's on the floor. I'm sitting on the floor. And I like sitting on the floor. So I make little low desks and sit on the floor and do things on the floor. And so I'm getting up and sitting down. It's good exercise. You know, that's what people always did. They were squatting. They were sitting on the earth. There's this great line in the Epic of Gilgamesh. I used to, the oldest work of literature in the West, but maybe in the world. And it's a story of Gilgamesh who goes and he visits Enkidu. And Enkidu is this amazing guy who is totally natural. And he runs with the animals. And he lives in harmony with nature. And he's just totally in harmony with nature. And Enkidu wants, Gilgamesh wants Enkidu to come back with him to the city to help him fight against this monster, Humbaba. And so he brings with him this harlot, this prostitute from the city, and she looks at him, Enkidu, and she says, this is the thing, I mean, this is the words, right out of her mouth, she says, get up off the ground. And I just think that that those words just echo over the thousands of years since then. We got up off the ground. We like separated from the earth, we separated from nature, we separated from animals. Get up off the ground, come with me to the city. Come up. And poor old Enkidu, you know, he did it. He didn't know any better. You know, that's what happened. It's kind of a story, I think, about what happened to us, in a sense. We've completely separated ourselves from nature and from the natural flowing harmony that we have when we do things. And we're living in these square boxes with artificial lights and looking into screens and so forth. I mean, what does that do to our health, really? It's just good to be aware of these things and to do and then make little changes. And try moving in different ways. Try sitting in different ways. Try getting different kind of furniture, different kinds of, you know, try out other things. That's what I do. I think it's up to us. You know, we only have a few years here. We shouldn't force ourselves necessarily to do everything the way everybody does things. I mean, if we're vegans, we're already breaking all the rules anyway, so might as well not stop there, you know, keep going. So, you know, just think about the ways that in our own minds that we put ourselves into little prisons because we worry what other people think of us and we worry what our parents, even though our parents are dead, we're so worried what they think of us, you know, what they're going to think of us. I mean, don't worry about it. We have to find our own way now and we have to create new pathways into this positive future that's beckoning. And each one of us maybe has, you know, each one of us has a key, maybe, and we can share that with other people. So I think all these things are positive ways that we can think about how we can be healthy through movement. The other two I mentioned the six keys are nature and creativity. Again, these are huge subjects, but nature, they have this thing in Japan, this ancient tradition in Japan called forest bathing. It just means going into the forest. Forest bathing. Madeline and I are doing that here in Tucson. Every day we go in the afternoon to Sabino Canyon. And it's not quite a forest. It's a bunch of cactuses, but they're beautiful, really. It's the Palo Verdes and the Saguaros and the Choyas and the Ocotillas and all these, the barrel cactuses. I mean, I love all of them. They're great. And then we actually just walking through, these living beings. And they're like, it's like a huge garden. It's beautiful, really. You can feel the sense of life that's so present there. And then we see roadrunners sometimes and little rabbits and other things. And then we always, every day, when we're here, we're leaving tomorrow, so it's only been a few days, but we always go to the Sabino Creek and we take a swim in a sun bath and an air bath and just connect with the water and the sky and the mountains and the natural world. And I think when we do that, it's something that feeds us at a very deep level. And if we don't do that, if we just allow ourselves to just be separated from nature, I think we really can go kind of crazy. I mean, that's what our entire society does. It gets more and more divorced from the natural world, and we get off into these strange, very perverse kinds of ways of dominating each other and animals and so forth. If we come back just into nature in a mindful way, in a celebratory way, in a respectful way, then we feel like we're part of something beautiful and incredibly intelligent. And that's our true nature also, is that. I love that. You know, our own body is nature. You know, we are nature. Why do we insist on allowing ourselves to be separated from nature? And then the final one is creativity, which is everything. I mean, I love the fact that my father played the piano and I learned to play the piano. And that's always a way I can just create musically. But there's more than just music. There's art, there's movement, there's writing, there's relationship. Life in general, really, is basically improvisational, right? We just kind of make it up every day. We go out, here's my life. It's a work of art. Our life is a work of art. Our life is a creative act, whether we know it or not. It is. We're creating it. We're improvising. We can follow the same road. We can be very habitual, but we can also try new things. You know, and when we try new things, we learn. It can be a tremendous experience, really, to just try new things, just try doing new things. That makes our intuition function, and we learn from that. So I think creativity is really important for being healthy. It's a real path into health. It's all about vibratory rates. You know, when we're, if we allow ourselves to get into ruts, if we allow ourselves to get into fear, if we allow ourselves to be worried about what other people think of us, all of that just lowers our vibration. And when we get to a lower vibration, that's where disease comes ramping in, you know, because we are not at ease, right? So that's disease. So to just consciously resist all those forces around us that are trying to pull us down, because that's, you know, the powers, they make money on sick people. They don't make any money on healthy people. So the idea is to create a world of healthy people. And I think that's a spiritual practice for all of us. It's part of spirituality. Spirituality is not something that's disconnected from daily life. It's really very much integrated into our daily life. The way that we live, the thoughts that we have, the way we smile to people when we're checking out at the grocery store. I mean, whatever it is, these little things, these are improvisational acts that really have ripples that go out and they boomerang all over the place. We don't even know. I can tell stories. You all can tell stories of how things boomerang, how they build and grow. One little thing can create a huge positive blessing. One little sort of negative thing can create a big negative thing. So really try to see that. I think it's really helpful to see how there's no such thing as a little thing. Even little things can be big things. And everything we do is important because we are the manifest creators of our experience. All right, I'm going to stop there. Angel, you have your hand up. I'm not sure if I is still at all interesting to say what you were going to say or you have a question, but I appreciate your being with us. And go ahead and press *6 if you'd like to unmute, or maybe I can unmute you. I'm not sure if I can. Oh, you're unmuted, so go ahead.
Oh, cool, wonderful. Well, first of all, thank you, Will, for everything that you said, and I concur wholeheartedly with it. It's so interesting what you said about the benevolent revolution, because the word benevolent has been my main word for my whole life, that my main prayer every morning is, thank you for making my every single thought, word, and deed benevolent for the highest good of all, including self. So I love that you're taking the ball and running with the benevolent revolution. That has been a theme song for my entire incarnation.
Wonderful. Wow.
I really love that. Now, my question is, and I know we don't have much time, is, as you know, I have been doing very actively this vegan advocacy with Yogaville. And we got to a really good point with it now, and this is my question to you. Now, I've been going back and forth with them for a long time, sharing some of that communication with you. Now they're saying, okay, submit a proposal. And this proposal, I have the cooperation of the director of the Integral Yoga Teachers Association and Swami Ramananda, who's the head of the San Francisco Integral Yoga Institute. So I have two key players who are working on this with me now, which is very, very good. And so we're down to now writing this proposal. So my question to you, Will, is they're already vegetarians. So the question is the vital importance of shifting from vegetarian to vegan. What do you feel like in a one-page proposal are the most essential key points?
Yeah, and it's a yoga. It's a yoga, obviously. Yoga, it's a spiritual community, right? Who the practice is spiritual yoga. So, I think, you know, basically, I've seen some of what you've been writing. It's very, if you're covering everything, and they, you know, like the environmental impact and the so forth, but the spiritual principle underlying everything really of yoga and spirituality in general is the idea of what we're sowing we're going to reap, and what we put out comes back, and also the idea of the golden rule: don't do to others what we wouldn't want to have done to ourselves. That's absolutely undeniable. You know, you're on rock solid ground on encouraging them to question the violence that they are engaging in by serving dairy products there, and just doing it in a firm but understanding way. You understand that this is a tradition. You know, it goes back thousands of years, and it goes back to your teacher. Also, didn't actually explicitly demand that everyone follow ahimsa as a vegan way of being, but the idea, I think, that the teaching is always getting better, right? It shouldn't get worse. It should always get better. It should get more refined and more consequent. And as we learn more, as we learn better, we do better, right? It's not a criticism of anybody in the past, not a criticism of the teacher, not a criticism of anyone. It's just the idea that we have this opportunity now to really propel your movement, in a sense, into the forefront of what authentic spirituality now is understood to be, which is the ancient wisdom of ahimsa, actually living that now. And the science, I know that's kind of a buzzword, but the science really is on our side, in the sense that we do not need to eat dairy products to be healthy. In fact, it's just the opposite. So I would focus on the golden rule, really. I mean, that is a fundamental teaching. These cows are really suffering terribly, and the workers that have to rape them on rape racks, even if they don't care about cows, I mean, they should, but and there's no way of doing dairy without causing violence. You've got to have male, you know the whole thing, I have to tell you. But anyway, those are the things I would focus on, really, the spiritual, the eternal, universal principles, and stay very positive. This is a wonderful opportunity now for us to actually put this into practice and give the human race, be leaders in humanity's quest for a world of peace and justice and health and sustainability, instead of being part of the problem, right? If we don't do it, we're just basically part of the problem. But I wouldn't be critical, though. I would be really give them this idea that, we can, this is something great that we can do, not try to shame them into it, I think, personally. But that, maybe that's just my style.
I agree completely. What Ramananda said is, without judgment and not being confrontational or judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
So the key thing is, how to say things. I agree with all those points, and I've been going over those exact points with them up until now, using those exact words, in fact. But how do I put this in the tone that it does not come across as those two things, confrontational or judgmental?
Yeah, I mean, just do it. come from your heart, and don't be confrontational and judgmental. You're not judgmental, right? You understand. You can even say it explicitly. I understand that this is the tradition. This is what's been passed on. This is what we're born and raised with. And stay positive. Like, we have this opportunity now to broaden the understanding of ahimsa in our community and in the whole world. We can help. We can be leaders in this. This is a golden opportunity, and we shouldn't wait a minute. Now the sooner we act on this, the better it is for everyone, for the animals, for future generations. And you could say something like this, everyone knows, I think, right now, our society is going through all kinds of challenges. So that especially now, it's especially important to be an example of freedom and respect for the sovereignty of other living beings. So I think just be positive. Just be totally loving and positive, but in your way. I'm sure you'll do a great job. You can send it to me if you want before you send it to them. I can have a look.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you very much, Will, for those very valuable suggestions, and always for your willingness to help. And, if we accomplish this goal, I won't say if, but when, we get Yogaville to shift, then they're one of the major leading yoga organizations in the world. This is a global organization. If we can get this to happen from the center, Yogaville in Virginia, the ripple effect of that would be a huge victory for advocacy. So I really want to give this my best, and thank you so much for your willingness to help. And maybe we could all take a moment to visualize these It's going to go before the Spiritual Life Board, before the Teachers Council, before the Board of Trustees. Let's all visualize that those individuals get this and vote yes. And I'm also requesting that they all watch the new movie that you're in, Madeline, or in India, the
Land of Ahimsa.
Land of Ahimsa. I am requesting humbly that they all watch that movie before they vote.
Great idea. Yeah, I think that's a good idea because that's they kind of hide behind the fact that it's in India the there is all compassionate and it's not at all. So that's a good idea. All right.
So much.
Thank you.
God bless everyone on this call. Thank you all. It's so great to have these kindred vegan spirits. So thank you all so much, especially you, Will.
Thank you, Angel. Thanks for all your efforts with this. It's great. It's great work. Yeah, yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for joining us. It's kind of over time here. I guess we'll go ahead and let's say our prayer together. I know, Christine, you've got your hand up. I just feel like I should probably wrap it up. Feel free to write your question in the chat if you'd like, or send it to me to my email address. So let's go ahead and say the prayer that we say every day at noon, which is the prayer of the Circle of Compassion prayer. You can say it together three times. Feel free to unmute yourselves if you'd like. It's always nice to make a very sacred or holy cacophony when we do say our prayer together. So we'll just go ahead and do it three times. Here we go. Compassion encircle the earth for all beings everywhere. Great. Again. Compassion encircle the earth for all beings everywhere. One more time with feeling. Here we go. Compassion encircle the earth for all beings everywhere. Wow, fantastic. Thank you all so much. I look forward to maybe seeing you. Madeline and I are heading to Albuquerque and Santa Fe this weekend, then to Las Cruces, and then to Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio, and Houston, and Tallahassee, and then down to West Palm Beach. We'll be in Florida for a few months. Then we'll be heading back a little more northerly, so if you're in Georgia or Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, whatever, we'll figure that out too. But please join us, or if you know people in those areas. And we look forward to seeing you on the third Thursday. So have a great couple of weeks. Much love to all of you. Thanks again for all the efforts that you're making. Go forth and multiply the beautiful message of love. All right. Love you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.